What symbol, have you ever wondered, what symbol cartoonists or people who painted pictures in caves, what did they use? What symbol did they use? What symbol did the Egyptians use for good idea? They couldn't have used the light bulb for that light bulb moment idea, because that's only possible after Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Then you have, oh, it's a light bulb moment, and light bulb was a good idea. So it has become this universal symbol. This incandescent light bulb became the symbol globally for the bright idea. A good idea, it's synonymous with a symbol for that light bulb. The symbol, however, is likely to last, is it not, Colin Cullis, longer than the light bulb itself, because light bulbs themselves, in an unusual way, are evolving.
Yeah, and incandescent bulbs, certainly the one that we have as that symbol, the little round one with the filament, the one that, you know, Thomas Edison so famously created. He didn't necessarily make the first one. It was a carbon filament back then. It was the first commercially successful one. There were better bulbs, but again, you know, he was the showman. He knew how to market these things. And the history of General Electric and the profile this evening for Business Unusual is that company. And while in the past, you know, we've looked at, I think the oldest business was about 20 years old, this one's 125 years old. And remains to
Hold on a second. You mean you like trendy, cool, funky businesses? Businesses that use lots of technology? Companies that aren't harnessed and held back by their histories?
You're right, and this is actually one of them. I just didn't realize it. And the more I read up about them, the more they actually showed all the signs of what a lean, clever little startup looks like, even though they were so very old. It does begin. So Thomas Edison, when he co-founded General Electric, he had a bunch of other companies. He was a classic serial entrepreneur kind of guy. And the power industry was the big one. He was in power and transport. He was building locomotives, and he doubled down on this diesel electric kind of type of combination as the railroads were taking off. But he wanted people to start using more of electricity because he was generating electricity. He could see there was huge potential, but not a whole lot of demand. And the catch was with residential customers. Because you imagine back in the 1890s, telling people, wow, wouldn't you like some electricity for your home? They'd look at you the same way somebody who had never had a mobile phone looked at you before they came out and became absolutely ubiquitous. So he had to find a reason why somebody would want electricity. And he figured gas lighting and candles were not very good, kind of smelly, and weren't that reliable. So the race was on to create the light bulb. It wasn't just him, obviously, invested in this race, but he, once he'd got his carbon filament bulb, was able to make it that much more impressive with his showmanship and beating out his competitors, doing all sorts of things. And it was the light bulb that consumers wanted that allowed him to put electricity in his homes. And of course, once he started generating the demand, he could start selling the appliances, which is what kind of I knew light bulbs and appliances. That what General Electric was, right? But actually, for a very long time, it wasn't either of those businesses that were their biggest sources of revenue. In fact, currently, it's their transportation business. They make these massive, massive motors and trains. And those same electric motors in the trains, they use in mines and on ships. And the other part of transport that they've become very invested in and become very well known for is aviation. They make aeroplane engines, very big, very powerful, very efficient ones, which has the global, it's appropriate that you're talking about aviation this evening and the problems with it. The guys who make the best engines are invariably going to have good contracts. And aligned with that is that they have a good little deal with the US military and supplying them all sorts of things to help them blow up nasties. And I can imagine with the current president, there's potentially some good business coming their way again. But going back to that original one with the appliances, so it's very clever how they rolled these things out. So appliances were then the next thing after the light bulb and electricity was in the home, and then the Great Depression hits. Big problems. What do you do now? You're basically still selling a luxury item to people who at the time couldn't afford it. So they took the risk of saying, we'll sell it on credit. They started financing their products. And up until 2008, when the really big sort of financial crisis hit, that was their largest part of their business, financing things, insurance and people buying stuff for them. But they've also always had this pretty clever way of going back to this original idea of saying, you create the demand, then you service it. And they've understood that business-focused divisions of theirs would always be better. So rather than sell a product to a consumer who could be fickle, who would have to be low priced, very competitive, and you know the demands would change very quickly, selling to the transport industry, selling to the medical industries, to the military, and to companies like that, much more sustained growth, much more likely to have contracts that need to be serviced with servicing, etc. And for an example, just looking at some of the technology things. So radio was one of the bright new shiny things in the 1920s. RCA, the Radio Corporation of America, founded by General Electric, one of the first broadcasts, General Electric. They were one of the first people to help build the sets and the transmitter equipment for the first TV broadcasts. They bought NBC in the 80s and stuck around with them until about 2013. So they had very varied interests. And it was only this most recent CEO and after the 2008 one that he said, you know what? We have to start divesting from the two divest portfolios and start looking at what's going to give us business for the future. And the story that got me to want to pick up on this in the first place was a story from earlier this month that said this 125-year-old company, known for inventing the light bulb, is looking to sell its lighting division.
What?
Yeah.
Selling the family heritage?
Pretty much. But, and this is the clever thing, you see, back in the 60s, they'd already devised and developed the early LEDs. They didn't really know what to do with it yet. They were just sort of a couple of machines that went beep. But now that it's kind of the future of domestic and industrial and commercial lighting, they're selling off the other bulbs, you know, the CFLs, incandescents, anything else related to the sort of consumer lighting. They're keeping the LED business. It's not to say that they will do it. This is something they're looking at doing. And I don't know if I mentioned that they've sold off the appliance business. They sold that off a year or two ago to a Chinese conglomerate because, again, you know, too much competition, too difficult to stay up to date with all those things. They'd rather just move a little side and take a break for that one. And you mentioned something with today's anniversary about the Chernobyl disaster. Well, guess who designed the Fukushima nuclear power plants?
Not Westinghouse, I take it.
Not Westinghouse. General Electric built nuclear power plants as well. And they've also divested from this since the oil price hasn't gone so well. But that oil and gas and energy, I mean, it kind of makes sense that they were in the energy business. But it really was everywhere. And they were so powerful, obviously, even when they listed, being Thomas Edison and everything that he had back then, is that when the Dow Jones was first formed in 1896, they included 12 businesses to represent the index. And they're still on it. The only one of the original 12 that is still around and still on that index to this day.
I mean, and also, they are participating in Business Unusual in terms of new technologies. I mean, clean energy, renewable energy is a very big focus for them. So they seem to have been very agile and very adept at following trends and, in many cases, leading the trends, I suspect. Even as this massive global conglomerate that made Jack Welch so famous and that led to the oddest succession race in the history of succession races, where Jack Welch identified three potential successes and said, if you all agree, you can all be in for the job. And two of you who don't get the job have to agree right now to leave so you don't undermine the CEO. I mean, it's a hard-nosed, tough environment, but incredibly agile and very smart.
Indeed, and it's something of that sort of non-sentimental take that says, what is the market looking for now? How can we best supply it? And then do what is required. Kind of attitude that I can't call myself an expert here. This is after just a week or two of sort of reading up as best as I can. But it certainly seems to have that sort of thing that says, if the best thing for us to do is sell the lighting business, sell the lighting business. But there is a sort of a history repeating itself kind of thing where they see where the market is going. They look to try and create the innovation and then lead the demand for it, supply that to the point that it becomes saturated or is no longer looking like the thing to have, and then move on to greener pastures.
I mean, create demand and then service that demand. How is that different to the internet mantra of build it and they will come?
It's not any different at all. It's exactly the same.
Yeah.
And this is where, you know, I suppose it does go back to something about Thomas Edison, who, you know, some people would say he was a genius, you know, visionary, whatever else. Other people would say he was a unscrupulous, terrible businessman who would leave lots of people sort of taken for a ride. And it's fair to say General Electric doesn't also have some nasty skeletons. That nuclear build is one that people have been criticizing them for a while. They are known for paying almost no taxes. They make half their profits in the U.S. They make an enormous amount of money, but somehow pay little to no taxes, which is, you know, I suppose a lot of business simply say, well, we're not doing it illegally. We're simply doing what we're allowed to do, and that's what we're doing. They're also one of the first ones who came up with this notion of planned obsolescence, which at the time, this is in the sort of 50s, people almost thought it was a feature. Yeah, I'm going to sell you a device that I know you don't want anymore in a year's time, even though the device itself will be absolutely fine. And it might seem kind of strange, like who would allow that? That is outrageous. Then again, look at your hand in your phone and say, oh yes, I'm still doing that. Why am I replacing my phone every year? Simply because somebody wants to add a new number at the end of its name. And this is what we're hooked into. And they just make it look a little slicker, make it look a little nicer, and we're brought into it. So that was another one of theirs that wasn't exactly the nicest thing that they could have done. But then again, it didn't stand in their way or cause too much trouble for them.
I mean, he has a distinctly old school business operating in the 21st century like it was started by Thomas Edison age 14, 10 years ago.
It exactly is. And that is the bit for business unusual, for other businesses to kind of take that from it. You know, if you want to be a big company, you're not going to be small and agile and nifty. So you have to be strategic. You have to know what you're looking to do and what you're good at doing. And Jack Welch's kind of point, find the people who can do that. Don't care about anything else. Just get the people who are going to do that. Have them execute what it is you're looking to do. And I guess, you know, you can't get a better testament to whether or not, you know, you will succeed or you stood the test of time, as it were, as doing that. But perhaps we'll come back around to that original one about these symbols. Because I did ask, you know, where does it come from? And the connection was in part Thomas Edison understanding how to market this thing, and a popular picture at the time was this glowing bulb and Thomas Edison's face, sometimes with the bulb placed sort of near and around his head. But it was a silent cartoon called Felix the Cat in the 20s, who, you know, it couldn't, there was no speech track. There was just a little music playing in the background that somebody would be playing in the cinema. And so to illustrate what was going on, what he was thinking about, they'd use these little symbols, question mark, for like, oh, what's going on? And of course, when he had a bright idea, boom, there came the light bulb, and it stuck. And, you know, a bit like the envelope symbol for email, which, you know, there are no envelopes in email. It's still there. We will have the light bulb, the old incandescent light bulb, sticking with us as a bright idea long after nobody knows what that is anymore.
Exactly. What is this thing? People are very confused 20, 30, 40 years from now. Colin Cullis with Business Unusual, as always, on a Wednesday night. Super. Thanks, Colin.